Hey guys, welcome to Into the 99. We are here today to talk about some lore, so I'm going to introduce two new guests with us. Not really guests, they're going to be doing the lore stuff with me. First and foremost, Dianikis, say hello.
How's it going?
And Evan.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome.
So today we're going to be talking about, we wanted to talk some of the lore. There's so much interesting stories in Magic, and we want to actually start going over some of it. And I've been batting it around for a while, and we wanted to start. Everyone loves the lore. So yeah, we're going to start today. Obviously, Strixhaven's coming out, and we're going to go over a little bit of the Strixhaven lore, and I'll get Evan to just jump right into it. And yeah, I didn't even know Strixhaven wasn't the name of the plane. So let's go there. Yeah. Evan, let us know a bit about what the plane is.
Yeah, so it's not even called Strixhaven, first and foremost, which really kind of threw me off when I started looking into the plane. It's known as Arcavios, and it's got two suns. It's broken into a northern and a southern half, the top half being called Orithia, and the bottom half being called Galathul. Linked by a single land bridge called the Isthmus of Omens. That's a fun word there.
Yeah, they throw a real mouthful at you.
Yeah, Strixhaven University, what the set's based around, is on the northern half, and the southern half, Galathul, is a lot more like mysterious and unknown.
Yeah, I thought it was actually pretty interesting that it wasn't called Strixhaven. Like, I just thought Strixhaven was the plane, but it's actually the school on the plane. I really hope that we just were reading some of this stuff and looking through it, and I really hope that they actually expand on this, because this plane looks awesome.
Like, there's a lot of cool stuff in here that they don't even really delve into in the cards, and I think it's mainly just because we don't have the availability, just because of, you know, we're limited to a single set with, like, a single cards, and, like, there's the chance we might visit the set again. But other than that, like, the majority of people are only getting the lore from reading, like, the, you know, the flavor art on the cards and stuff.
There were a few stories that went out, and I did read over them. I liked them. But once I started reading the history, like Evan said, it's way better than Strixhaven. This is
Yeah.
What were some of the stories, John?
One was Prismari's the Izzet one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Izzet story is about, like, a young orc who is having troubles meeting her mother's elegant art, and the whole story kind of revolves around her trying to find out who she is and control her wild magic, which is what, you know, you would think an orc would have, but she's trying to repress it due to her lineage. And the story ends with one of the deans of Prismari showing her that, hey, you can be whoever you want, you know,
well, they
you're part of the wild magic.
They are supposed to be like the theater kids, right? So that would make sense. They want to be the more expressive kind.
There are two deans. So there's the dean of, I think it's expression, which is the wild magic dean. And then the second dean is the dean of perfection, which is, you know, the beautiful artwork and, you know, elegant.
Yeah, we actually talked about those on the spoiler episode that we did on Sunday. And yeah, I really like that, the expression dean, the chaos one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's I plan to build a deck based around that because it just looks really, really fun to play chaos theme. I like chaos theme decks
chaos
in general.
Chaos is fun.
Yeah. Cast everyone else's spells is a blast.
Throw a whirlpool in there.
Yeah, so
I think reversal storm is something that should happen.
So we did talk a little bit before. I've mentioned it many times. The main story of Magic is done and over at the moment. They have to set up the new conflicts. Yeah, there's like still some big baddies out there. We still have Emrakul, and we are going back to Innistrad. There's still Eldrazi. There's still the Phyrexians, and we saw Vorinclex on Kaldheim.
So, yeah, kind of snuck on in there. Yes. He's on the snow.
Is Kaya dead, by the way?
Yeah, I have no idea. I really should read the Kaldheim.
Killed Kaya, right?
I think that she didn't actually die, like the kind of a ghost form kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Permanently stuck in ghost form.
Is she?
I don't know, dude. I just work here.
you said that again, so confidently. I believed it. I was like, wow, that's a great story plot.
And it's like, again, I don't get much of the lore directly just because it's not because I don't have like the time to look it up, but it's just, organically, when I first started playing the game, it was just available in the booklets and more directly just through like the blocks sort of fleshing out the stories and stuff.
Yeah,
and I guess it kind of makes sense that, you know, they don't have like a main story right now, but it's still kind of annoying because like, there's cool stuff.
War of the Spark was such an interesting set, not just because of the cards that were in it, but because specifically it was like the climax of a story they built for so long, right? Like you had, that is the end of the Gatewatch era, right? And like I've said before, they need new planeswalkers now, right? There is no more Gatewatch. We have Gideon dead and gone. There, Nicol Bolas is in the meditation realm, sealed. I'm pretty sure he's coming back out. But we'll talk about that.
And Ugin is the meditation realm.
Yeah. So, yeah, they have to establish these new planeswalkers, right? Like, they can't just have Liliana, Chandra, everyone endlessly. Like, they will need new ones. And that's why we're starting to see things like Luca. We're seeing Kaya. We're seeing, like, more Tybalt, not as a joke, planeswalker.
I think Arcavios is going to be a... I think this is going to be Liliana's, like, last real set she's featured in. Reading the story, she actually goes to the Golgari Elder Dragon, and she's like, "Hey, like, I've read your writings on necromancy. Like, help me bring this guy back." And she's like, "You know, maybe you should focus on more on how you treat the living."
Huh.
Schooled her at the university,
and so she might decide to stay on Strixhaven. Like, I don't know yet.
And maybe work a little bit more with that necromancy dragon. The Belladross Witherbloom is a very, very cool creature. I really hope that they expand on it. And them having living elder dragons that aren't Nicol Bolas really does, like, put a lot more story things.
Sorry for interrupting you there, Dan.
No, go ahead.
But it's like, especially with, now that you've, like, mentioned it, now that Nicol Bolas is, like, you know, sealed in the meditation realm, and we don't really see, you know, what Arcades or anyone else is doing, I really hope they do expand upon these Elder Dragons and use them in the future sets as kind of like a foundation for the new main story, you know?
I definitely do see, like, a lot of Amonkhet kind of vibes over here at the moment. Like, it's a pretty innocent plane. They do have, like, these dragons. Something's going to happen. I think they are going to expand on them outwards. There is going to be a protection. There is the other half of the continent that they didn't really explore. I think this is a main place they're going to be doing stuff in, and Kaldheim. I think that they visited both for that reason.
Well, currently there is an enemy on the plane.
Okay.
The Auric. I didn't read too much about them, but... they did kidnap Luca.
Oh.
And he was in one of the stories. He was grabbing a book. I think I got halfway through it, and then I just decided to... Oh, yeah, I had to go into town and grab medicine for the calf. But anyway, but their idea... They're trying to get a hold of Strixhaven's archives in order to get power, ultimate power, something like that. And they're actually... Similar to what Voldemort did, is hire and... bring in students from the school to do their dirty work. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, it says here, the Auric are a group of mages who seek to access Strixhaven's magical archives for their own purposes. Because they need so many recruits, they often send agents across Arcavios to find susceptible people to recruit. This causes many of the citizens of the plane to be distrustful of outsiders for fear they may be affiliated with this group. So like you said, they are kind of Voldemort-y recruiting, and they just basically want to break into... and steal all the old spells of the mystical archive kind of stuff?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So we've covered Prismari, Witherbloom. Let's go to my third favorite. Quandrix.
Yep.
And Quandrix is that's the Simic one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the math dragon, so, big brain dragon.
Yeah.
I really want to say that Quandrix, how it was described... really changed up in the card and what they made for the cards.
Okay.
But it didn't. I didn't see their intense mathematical focus switched around. You know, you see a lot of doubling season effects. There's this one that exiles all creatures and then you get one big creature. You know, stuff like that.
Math.
Which, math, but it feels like Simic.
It does feel like Simic. We were talking right before we actually jumped on here about how some of these were distinct from their colors, like they're not quote unquote the guilds, but yeah Simic did kind of just feel like Simic.
Like the Witherbloom one does a really good job of incorporating. I know like Golgari does have some forms of life gain kind of in their colors already, but it felt kind of fresh to see them doing life gain with Golgari rather than just kind of like graveyard stuff and like big stompy creatures reoccurring from the graveyard and such.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think that all of them, I did really like how I liked what they did with all of these color pairings and kind of shifting what they do. But yeah, the Simic, although I like the cards for the Simic deck, I wasn't super excited. Like I'm going to call Lorehold and not Boros when I'm talking about that playstyle. I'm just calling this Simic.
Yeah, and that sounds like a good way to put that, because like Lorehold especially does a really good job of really kind of defining the Boros color scheme in a way that I feel like it hasn't really been done before, at least in like a formal set.
Yep. I think it excited people about
those
colors.
They really changed up on Boros. And I think they did a pretty good job with the Orzhov. I want to save Lorehold for last because Boros.
I don't like the ink. I don't like the inklings. Silver Quill doesn't really do it for me.
See, I don't know.
I like what they did with it.
I really like the politics aspect of the decks, like especially the precons. I thought it was neat. They're the aristocrats. They're the snobs. I'm a fan of that college thing. They did it nicely, I think. The Inklings are weird.
Oh. Yeah,
I think that's a good job. Are weird. It kind of feels like Thralls from Ravnica.
Yeah.
But they also did a pretty good job changing the way they work in this plane, other than Orzhov.
Yep.
So you have, and the stories, there's different mages. I can't remember what it's called off the top of their head, but there's an entire major, I guess you'd call it, or a magic type, and it has to do with charms. What they say, because Silverquill is focused on their writing and their words, it's like they use charm effects to either dissuade you or bring you up, they can do all number of things. And a lot of Silverquill are vampires. You see more vampires in Silverquill than you see in other places, like you see more Loxodons and Lorehold, you see...
Oh yeah, here we go. So like the white silver quill mages are called Inkwrights, Glyphweavers, and Quillmancers.
Quillmancers.
And then you have War Singers, Silver Tongues, and Battle Poets. And the black sides have Banner Mages, Shadelocks, Wit Stingers, and Daunters, alongside Inkcasters, Dusk Mages, and Shadewings.
Honestly, those are pretty heavy metal names.
Yeah,
right.
I want to see those on cards, dude.
Well,
I want them to bring vampires back.
When we were going through, we'll still go back over into Lorehold and stuff. I want to know what they call their mages too. Now I'm interested.
Right.
When we were looking at the part of Arcavios, they do have something. It's a scant little line of text here, but it's the Dragon's Guard, and it's a select few join the Dragon's Guard, an elite force of mages who work with the honored founder dragons. Really interested to see like what those are. Because we never got any of those. Like, I assume they will be like the stronger mages of the planes and not simply the teachers or deans.
That was referenced directly in the Planeswalker's Guide to Strixhaven when that was posted. Okay. And that seems to be the only real thing that they have noted about it.
Yeah, because that's like what a cool concept of like, I want to see some of these things riding dragons. Like, what kind of mages are strong enough to work with these elder dragons who essentially created the plane, right?
They're going to be an uncommon guy who tapped on
a Kiora's follower kind of effect.
Yeah. Hey, Kiora's follower is a good card.
Don't disrespect.
But no, they did a pretty good job with Silverquill, and I did like the change in mechanic of what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that far off from Orzhov, but it's enough to differentiate between the two.
What I liked about it was that it's still politics, right? And like Orzhov is kind of political in the death and taxes way, right? Like it's the, we're making you pay more, we're making you get rid of things. Like this is more of the friendly politics side of it, like nice in public and then ignorant behind closed doors. Like you're trying to get a benefit, but you want to look like the nice guy. I really like how they expanded into that color.
Yeah. They did a good job with them.
Yeah. And then let you go into Lorehold here, John.
Lorehold is my favorite college by far. They added a new wing onto what Boros can do. You know, you kind of saw something new with Winota. She could dig through the deck. She could grab new creatures. It even made an entirely new Stax deck in one of the most powerful formats, CEDH. But, you know, that's fun, but you're still doing Boros attack.
Yeah.
Lorehold flips it. Lorehold is all about artifact recursion, bringing things back. The new precon commander, the face commander, he's a giant, and you sacrifice your artifacts, and then you can exile them from your graveyard and get more out of it. So when you sacrifice an artifact, it pumps it. So there's your combat. But then you get further value off your artifacts being destroyed, because like Lorehold, they're bringing it back and they're putting it to bear for everyone to see and learn.
Yeah, the ancient artifacts kind of way. I really thought that the artifact reanimation was a really, really cool sub-theme for these colors.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM, then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
And the Lorehold mages are called the red ones. Cliffbusters, Ruin Shamans, Chaos Scholars, Trivialists, Absurdophiles.
Absurdophiles?
Absurdophiles.
Amazing.
Warlords get excited about the magic that was used during the Wars of the Blood Age, so they're definitely a militant school, you know, closer to what Boros is. But they're more interested in the history instead of being the perfect army.
Which you can kind of see in the white side, because they're like all about like the antiquarians and the truth finders. And, yeah, like, you know, going through, like, relics and stuff like that and ancient artifacts and such.
Man, these mages have cool names.
Right?
Right.
And it is kind of a shame that they really didn't, like, they didn't showcase those names, right, of what they call them. And they really are underselling the stories lately, like you said. Without the booklet, without it kind of being shoved in your face, you really have to, you've got to really dig for it, yeah.
And it's just, it's frustrating, especially when you're trying to get someone into magic, because as someone who got into magic with that sort of stuff available, it's, you know what they could be doing, but they're choosing not to, just to kind of, and it makes sense from, I guess, from a cost-effective standpoint, but at what point does cost-effectiveness outweigh the appreciation of the fans?
Hasbro hasn't doubled revenue.
What?
Hasn't doubled revenue yet.
Ah, damn.
I'm
in paper bags.
I straight out, just some commanders I will build not because they're good, but because they have a good story, or because I like what the guild stands for or something like that, right? Like I'm going to build a Lorehold deck not just because it's fun, but like because they've got a cool, they have a cool effect, right? You can feel fun. Commander's really self-expressive.
Yeah. Like, when Modern Horizons first came out and Urza was spoiled, I got really excited, because, like, I had just been, like, getting into, like, the OG Magic lore and how Urza and Mishra and the Brothers War and all that stuff. So when, like, he was released, I bought 5 Modern Horizons boxes to organically pull an Urza.
Well, because and that's exciting, did, right?
It was so much fun, dude. And when I built it, I made sure I got his glasses, his armor, his left and right eye, the Meek Stone and the Might Stone. And it was like, I made sure like there were variations of Karn in there. So it was like lore friendly and stuff. And it's just, I don't feel like I'm able to kind of do this as much with the newer kind of sets that are coming out, which really kind of upsets me, because that's the coolest part of the whole game, you know?
Oh, I love theme decks. Yes.
I feel so mean now. I built Urza for the real theme. He is mean, he is rude, and he likes to commit genocide.
Yeah, did we go over all those guilds there? I don't think we missed any of them, right?
I think we covered all the guilds.
We didn't Witherbloom.
We only talked about their Elder Dragon.
Yeah, their Elder Dragon's hype.
Witherbloom, I am absolutely in love with. I love the concept of the pests and utilization of such, and I like how it's focused more towards life gain. Because I feel like a lot of Golgari token decks, and especially after seeing like Araya come out with Eldraine and seeing how she kind of functioned with token decks and how black creatures entering and like leaving, you know.
Yep.
Sir Conrad was another good one. So it's nice to see them kind of flipping that around. And it's I love that the precon is the cook.
Yeah, the Gordon Ramsay card. That's a very cool card.
Love him to death. What are you called here? All right, so we got in Witherbloom for the Black Mages, we have Ritualists, Bleed Doctors,
Pest Catchers,
Dissectors, and Vein Witches. Oh my god. And then we have Bloodsters, Skullmancers, Dreadbones, and other Necromancers. And then on the green side, we have Herbalists, Boon Witches, and Leaf Binders, using medicinal herbs to soothe wounds and empower living creatures. Then we have Earth Crouchers, Mud Masks, and oh my god, dude, I want to be a Bayou Druid.
A Bio Druid?
That sounds so much fun. I don't even know what you'd do.
Imagine being, like, half of your name being one of the most powerful cards in Magic.
Right?
They did such a... This, I think, is... This and Lorehold are the ones that I think they fleshed out the most as their unique colors. Like, I really like the life and death aspect of it. Golgari's always been about bringing things back. But this is more really, like you said, on the life gain side of it.
Yeah, so it's more like highlighting the green aspect of Golgari rather than highlighting the black aspect, which I feel is done a lot more.
Yeah, it's not just about the graveyard anymore. It's about also gaining life, spending life, life as a resource. Like, I'm in love with this college.
Oh, that other card that's like pump something equal to the number of life you've lost or gained.
Yeah,
dude.
That's such a cool card. The gain and loss. Like, I think this also expanded. It's what Golgari always should have been, in my opinion. Not just the, like, what can I reanimate from the graveyard and how do I ramp to it?
No,
Will and Kenrith, Will and Rowan on this set, or was that Kaldheim?
They were on both, no, so.
No, yeah, they're kind of the new poster children, it looks like.
Yeah.
Will. Yeah. They made their first appearance in,
Battle Bond.
Yeah, Battle Bond.
Yeah, way back.
I like that. Battle Bond was fun. Except for Najeela.
Fun. Except for Najeela. Tom scarred you with Najeela.
Yeah. Najeela does a lot. They put a lot onto it. There is just some crazy things in this set. With the D&D set coming as well, it looks like they are really trying to expand out what they have for classes. You're seeing a lot more warlocks, giants. What was that, sorry?
Oh, I was going on like druids. I was just looking through some of the spoilers and I saw like five or six druids just right off the bat.
Yeah, druids, vampires, we've got some minotaurs, the loxodons. Like I think that they are really trying to give more to those those subclasses with the things coming. It's not just human soldier anymore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody likes tribal. Mm-hmm. I did want to talk a little bit more about this Arcavios, the plane and stuff. So, yeah, I'll throw it back over here to Evan, and you can just take us through, like, this the Dawning Age and how they came about.
So, beginning with the Dawning Age, this is the period when the plane was young and none of the humanoid races yet walked the Earth. During this part of Arcavios' history, the mana was just all over the place, guys. There was obviously the north and southern parts, and mana was overlapping between the two. And a lot of this gave birth to a lot of the structures on Arcavios currently. And it also gave birth to five cute little baby dragons who grew up to be the Elder Dragons who founded the various Strixhaven colleges. Right around the time that the dragons started to learn magic, this is around the time that humans started to evolve and kind of, you know, come into light and be able to speak. Dragons are a little nervous about that at first and kind of worried that, like, humans would try to harness magic and, you know, try to, like, control everyone. But discipline study taught them that teaching people, like, how to use magic and how to utilize it effectively would be better than just kind of leaving it up to them to figure it out. And so the dragons decided to found Strixhaven to kind of teach people how to use, you know, mana effectively. So that way it wasn't just an absolute mess like a Mad Max plane or something like that.
I do think it's really cool that the mana formed so powerfully that it, like, turned into these little luminous spheres and they were hatched from it. Like they are
pure mana.
Yeah, they are the pure mana forces of the plane, which also makes me think that we're going to see a lot more because although they are Elder Dragons, if Nicobolas and the other ones tell us anything, the Elder Dragons are pretty much godlike creatures in the Magic universe.
Now, what I want to know is where in the whole, like, timeline of the multiverse forming, when did Arcavios form, and when were these dragons born, and how close is it to the death of the prior Elder Dragon?
Oh,
because it's like you can only have like a certain set of Elder Dragons on at a time. But I also know the other Elder Dragons were like three colors. So like that kind of plays into a part too.
True. Another thing that I was thinking as well reading through this is the mysterious continent of Galanthal. There is nothing that says that there are not the other colors on the other side of this plane.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So like we could have another set of five other Elder Dragons across like in the vast lands doing their own weird things. And those, I don't know. I think those are the enemy colors in the other ones. I think these are the ally colors, but
no, these are enemy colors.
These Boros. Are enemy colors.
Yeah.
Boros
enemy colors are always worth more.
Okay. But yeah, so there is still all of the other ones. Like, there's, what are the other ones? There's Gruul, Rakdos, there's Azorius, Rakdos. Gruul. I would really love to see them color shift those as well.
Which they might do in the future.
Mm-hmm.
If only we had another set to kind of expand upon this in kind of like a block format or something, guys.
instead of these little formative ones. I do miss the block formats, yes.
I miss them so much.
The closest we get this year is Innistrad's like two sets, but that doesn't seem like
there will be?
Yeah, I think it's Innistrad and then Innistrad again, like two sets.
It's like one for vampires, one for werewolves or something like that, right?
Yeah.
That'll satiate me a little bit.
One thing about this set that I noticed is you see a lot of typos in the cards.
Yeah.
And that makes me think that this set might have been a replacement to a set that was scrapped.
True.
So we get all this great lore that I'm more than the people developing the story and the magic cards would love to put more on, but because they had to replace a set, potentially, I don't know, they had to speed the process up a little bit, which is kind of what happened with that, what was that guy's name? I don't remember his name, but he did stencil an artwork of fan art.
Oh, yeah, and somebody, the plagiarism art.
And so it did feel a little rushed. I mean, Magic has felt rushed for the past year now.
Kind of.
Which is kind of why I fell out of the story. Most of what I've learned of the past year of Magic has either been through flavor text or sitting at my LGS listening to people talk, which is how I learned most of the lore.
Well, when you were talking about that, the typos, the most glaring one, there's two huge ones. One is on the Prismari Face Commander, where they don't even have its name right twice on the same card. That does look like a huge oversight. And then also, on the Sunday episode, we were going over that Jadzi Oracle of Arcavios. It's a different mana cost on the full art card.
Yep. There is another green card. It is a troll. The card is a troll. But just like that one on the full art and the normal art, it's an elf druid and a troll druid.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, like...
So some like pretty that. Large oversights for sure. Yeah, the... In Jadzi, there's the flip side of the card is Journey to the Oracle. And in the normal card, and I believe the actual mana cost of the card is two green green. But in the full art version, it's one green green. So it's that one doesn't seem like a lot, but it is a lot in Magic, right? Like one mana less changes the card entirely.
If that card is one green green, it would be worth so much money.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that iteration where you're paying $200 to get exclusive iterations of cards, but now they're just gonna, you know, cost less mana and stuff, and there's real benefit to it.
Yeah, the collector boosters have never seemed so valuable.
Oh, you didn't get the full art? Well, sucks to be you.
Yeah, pay more.
Full mana cost.
Yeah.
Your card is four mana. Sorry.
There is we are also reading, and they have these really cool things, and they didn't. They're now that I know what they are, they're all over in the cards artwork, and it's so much more exciting. But it's these star arches. I'll let you guys go off on these star arches. I just think they're so cool. The artwork of them looks so cool.
The star arches make me think of Zendikar, actually.
Yeah, with the floating head rods and stuff.
Yeah, you know, this plane seems to be full of mana, which we actually haven't seen a plane with. You know, you have Zendikar, which is obviously has natural mana. But the star arches, you know, things are being created during the Dawning Age. You know, these huge structures, these beautiful arches that are just naturally created. And they're there, and there's really no explanation as to why they were created, other than the forcing clashes of the magic overlapping themselves created a mana storm, I guess you'd call it, and created these giant structures. And most of what they do is they're kind of like a stepping stone almost. You know, they're a symbol for people to, what I've read anyway, is they're kind of like they appear when they're at a crossroad or a big moment in their life. And I just forgot what I was going to say. Oh my gosh.
I just love how they pop up out of literally nowhere. And they just, like, because what I'm imagining is, like, because I'm assuming they have some form of, like, you know, indication that they're coming in. But just based on how they're described here, it literally seems like you, like, look away and you look back and there's just, like, something there. And that's, like, an indicator that you're about to make a big decision in your life. And yeah. I think that's sick. Because it's just, like, imagine walking through the forest one day, just, you know, minding your business, and you just kind of, like, hear something, and you look over, and it's like, oh, my God, like, I'm about to do something that's going to make or break my existence and, like, change my life forever.
Yeah, they're
and
official.
And then a shady man in a long coat comes out of the trees and goes, hey, kid, you want some candy?
Yeah, exactly. Do you take the candy?
That's the lesson. The the official write-up of them is gravity-defying arches crop up all over this plane looking like mystical shrines or monuments. They're made from spokes or natural materials that float in an arch shape with a precise inner curve and a rough and irregular outer arch. So they are just like this weird, like, stone arch looking thing floating there. They stand up straight or lie at an angle. They can be small, enormous, whole or broken, grown over, like spotless. They just show up in random ways. It says they're a mysterious leftover from the dawning age when the plane was young and none of the humanoid races yet walked the earth. So this is just right when the dragons were flying around. Maybe it's from them just using their mana and mastering it in general. In most cases, the arches simply sit there, floating inexplicably, silent, immovable, and inert. But many have said that they appear at the time of the critical judgment. That's what you're saying. So it helps them understand a lesson or answer a burning question, maybe pushes them to the next level. Some believe that each arch marks a place of great magic, such as the site of the birth of a great mage or the location of some lost spell, which I also think is really cool, by the way, just to jump into that all these spells are not just cards we cast, but they're actual things, like, yeah, written, like, down in books, yeah,
monuments and such.
Yeah,
I think it's just multiverse graffiti tag. And the other dragons are just spraying their tags around the plane, just stacking stones and putting man into them.
That does make me think of rainbows with the time lost spell, you know.
Yep.
You're supposed to find a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow.
True. I really hope that they expand as well on their race of the archaics things. They have this really Eldrazi looking feel to them.
I was thinking, especially the one colorless spell that has the archaic with, like, his arms all spread out.
Yeah.
What was it? Oh, my goodness. I just saw it a second ago. The demons also look pretty nice, but it was, here it is. The Wandering Archaic. It's the creature avatar. Whenever an opponent casts an instant or sorcery, they may pay two. If they don't, you can copy that spell. Also, phenomenal. Like, that's just good on its own, but just the way the arms are sort of spread out, it kind of gives me, like, Kozilek vibes or something of that sort. And that kind of goes alongside the whole Zendikar feeling for the plane.
Yeah. It looks like that blood avatar is the big thing. The Auric summon it, and it fights Will and Rowan, and they end up beating it. But, like, I wish they would have gone more into what these weird, giant, multi-armed, eye-wielding, magic, archaic giant things are. Because, yeah, like, that is one of the cards I was the most excited for to see. I think it has a place in almost every Commander deck.
Oh, yeah, easily. And it's colorless. Like, they could not have made it better.
And Group Hug on the back? Who doesn't like Group Hug?
What was the back? Because I was not able to see the back just based on where I was here.
So the back is three colorless. Each player reveals the top five cards of their library and can take a land and an instant or sorcery to hand and the rest to the bottom.
Oh, Kalamax is going to like... it's a sorcery. Never mind, not an instant.
I wish it was an instant, but still, like, I like group huggy cards in general. I play so many Temple Bell... Rites of Flourishing, Howling Mind things in so many decks where they don't even belong. I just love those cards.
You can't say that word. You can't say that word, Dan.
I'm the group hug advocate here as the Angus player.
Yeah.
you can't say Temple Bell. You're going to trigger Evan.
I love Temple Bell.
Something else that I think is really cool is the whole, like, because I think you mentioned it before, Dan, the blood sacrifice or whatever, and how before Strixhaven was founded, like, there was a literal, like, crusade kind of going on, where it was just, like, an age called the Blood Age.
Which, to me, that makes me think there is other dragons, and that it's not just these chill five that hang out with each other.
Yeah, and that they're trying to keep something kind of secret, and, like, the second half is probably, like, where, like, there's an evil school that's, like, completely the same, but, like, flipped around, and they're living in, you know, indirect symbiosis based on something going on with the bridge.
Or that they genocide killed the other dragons, and that they're actually the bad guys.
And then bring him back.
I still like Dan's idea. The enemy colored dragons are the good guys, and the allied colored dragons are the bad guys.
That would be, because we're just seeing the plane now. We don't really know who is good or bad. They didn't expand these stories, so we don't know what we didn't really establish a real bad guy. It's kind of a playful set, but this plane has so much to explore and actually do that they need to spend a whole block developing it.
If only we still did blocks. Oh, darn. What a shame.
Yeah.
Rest in peace down that area.
That they have the whole Arcavos map kind of fleshed out, too. Like, even though they don't have Galathul, like, labeled, they still have it down there, and it has, like, form and structure, which means we're definitely going to be going back to there at some point. Ooh, and, like, I don't...
It almost looks like North America.
What was that?
It almost looks like North America.
Almost, yeah, kind of.
How are you seeing that? What?
Okay, so you see Central America, right? And then
hold on a second.
A mountain range going through the center.
Okay.
Yeah, he's saying, like, if you were to flip it 180, like, flip it left to right.
Yeah, okay, I'm seeing it.
Then
now.
We've got this huge, like Canada up top. And it does sort of actually look kind of like Canada with, like, our Arctic. You could carve Alberta out of there.
Guys, we're living in Arcavios.
Where's the dragons?
I wish.
I do like that really big mountain range that's through there. And the land bridge that they have there is pretty cool, but you can see that there's definitely way, way more to this plane. And it doesn't, in the top half of this map, the Orithia part, you're seeing borders, you're seeing clear, like, this is some water, this is the end of the landmass. With this Galathul, you do not see that and stuff. You see it just a little bit at the edges, but it looks like it is a large landmass, and maybe even possibly an equal size of the other half of the plane, so...
It almost kind of looks like a symbol for one of the I can't remember which one, but one of the colleges had something like if you rotate it kind of like 90 degrees. Like so the Pisan Isles are on the bottom. It kind of looks like one of the symbols. And if you look in the bottom right, it looks like Galathul does kind of cut off down there, but the very, very bottom looks like it stretches out a fair amount.
Yeah, like it looks like you're just seeing the edge of it, almost like it's a you can't go there kind of place. Like, there's nothing there. Don't even worry about looking at it. And maybe that is what this Dragon Guard does. Like, maybe this is they finally, at the end of their war, agreed that they aren't going to go to each other's side. And maybe that's guarding, what they're...
They aren't guarding the Elder Dragons, guys. They're guarding us from the other Elder Dragons.
Yeah. Man, they really have to do so much more with this set. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff in it. Like, living Elder Dragons is an interesting thing, because I'm pretty sure that Nicobolas just killed all of the other ones except Ugin.
R.I.P. Arcades.
Arcades is dead.
A real one.
Yeah. Rip Arcades.
Niv-Mizzet.
Yeah, I guess.
The only living Elder Dragon we have, I think.
Yeah.
Niv-Mizzet.
You have no Elder Dragons on.
On Dominaria, all the other ones should be dead. Like Ramadaragaz, all those. Rith, they should all be gone.
Palladium Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, so they. I think they
kill all the other intelligent dragons on Ravnica.
Well, that doesn't sound very intelligent.
Like, to kind of do it.
Well, he's also kind of a
meanie.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a jerk. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you're old and grumpy, kind of just comes with age at that point, you know.
In fairness, at the end of War of the Spark, he did have all of the colors. He's all the elder dragons they need.
Nicobolas, or not Nicobolas, Niv-Mizzet woke. That's what the card should have said.
True.
At the bottom right of the map, you can actually see the northern coastline. It turns into a peninsula at that peninsula. You can see the coastline. So it might be smaller than we think, or that might just be a red herring of sorts.
Okay.
I think it extends like down directly south, like due south, especially from that mountain range there. It looks like, just based on the width of Galathul at that point, it looks like it at least kind of, you know, continues down to kind of peter off. And then that peninsula looks like it does kind of wrap around, like you were saying. But in the same regard, if you look at the top half, it has that kind of peninsula thing going on in the top, like, left bit, but it mm-hmm. also does kind of continue down a fair amount as well.
I think there's way more to this map than we're actually seeing. I think they're just showing us kind of what we need to. Strixhaven's pretty far away from, like, the actual...
like, everything.
This land bridge. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty tucked away, so it would make sense that that's, like, their... almost, like, their elementary school of training things, right? Like, they don't have it right by the... by the Vastlands. Yeah, it's pretty far away. There is a lot of the Paradox Gardens.
Not necessarily. Paradox Gardens? I'm pretty sure Paradox Gardens is a location for Lorehold.
That makes sense. Yeah, they've got... so, we've got a few things. I'm going to...
It's Mari, sorry. Or Quandrix.
One of them.
They've got, like, a huge desert on it. Like, I like that. Silk Meadow, it looks like we've got there.
There are ruins that are just all over the entire northern half that apparently date back to older than Strixhaven itself, and many are still guarded by the soldiers from the Blood Age, like undead and re-sort of, you know.
That's pretty cool.
Alived.
I do like that Strixhaven has the detention bog beside it.
I love that so much. Just detention, go stand in the bog.
To the swamp.
To the swamp. It should be.
Shrek's the hall monitor for detention.
they flush this plane out so well. It does seem like maybe they weren't ready to release the actual set, and like you said, they had to scrap it and move to something else. Wizards has had lots of controversy lately there. It seems like trying to rush through it to get back to they want to reach out to those dedicated lore players, and they need a new story, right? And you can't throw the current planeswalkers against the Phyrexians. Like, they will get ruined.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, like, there has to be, like, a power-up. They've got to go through their trials and tribulations. Like, you don't just make a new main character and be like, all right, so then Tybalt 1v1 Zemrakul. It doesn't work that way.
I would pay to see that, though, dude.
I think Will and Rowan might actually be the...
I think they're the new main characters. Like, I think they're the new Gideon-esque character.
Yeah.
They're like the Wonder Twins.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. So that kind of leaves us with... is Kaya a new planeswalker, in your opinion? Yep. You know, like a new to the front.
She came out in, like, OG Conspiracy, but, like, the other planeswalkers came out, I would say, prior to that. So, like, she's definitely newer, and she hasn't really been present in the story up until recently. So I'd say, in terms of character fleshings out, she's one of the newer ones.
Luca is definitely someone they're trying to highlight as well. We're seeing another Luca in this set. That's from
Ikoria.
Ikoria, yeah, which is, again, another great plane that they just have not... Ikoria was amazing for Magic, I think.
I love Ikoria too.
The Monster's Advocate, that was a good card.
Yep. Yeah, they need to expand. I think you nailed it when you said that they should be back in these block sets, because now that I'm thinking about it, it's the only thing in my mind of, like, well, we need more Ikoria stuff, right? Like, there's so many good legendary creatures in each of these sets. All of them really deserve a flushed out story and actual conflict instead of just like, and then the Wonder Twins fought the Blood Demon.
Yeah. And it's really frustrating seeing, like, these cool characters get created and then seeing the same, like, four or five kind of people from beforehand, and which is kind of ironic because that's kind of what Gatewatch was doing. But because it was fleshed out between, like, two or three sets, or even in some cases with, like, Zendikar and then, like, Return to Zendikar and stuff like that, and, like, Battle for Zendikar, like, more five or six sets. And it just, even though the Gatewatch is kind of that same sort of feeling of, you know, returning the same sort of group of people back and forth to save the day,
yep,
you still had more defined characters and a better idea of what the plane was, like, fleshed out.
I think they're trying to make Planeswalkers obsolete. You know, you see the... Realm Sword with Tybalt, you saw Rashmi's Planar Bridge. You know, it's a lot like in D&D, you know, the Spelljammers.
Mm-hmm.
They were these huge ships that were the only way to traverse planes. And then now you're seeing, eventually they came up with spells that could travel to different planes. Eberron, Greyhawk. So they might be doing something similar, so you don't necessarily have to rely on planeswalkers to show you new planes. Yep. You know, you could follow Rashmi or, you know, planeswalkers should always be included in a set, but...
But different ways to get to these worlds, yeah. We do have, I was saying, yeah, like a different way to like walk through the worlds and stuff.
Yeah, that would be something, I'd be interested in.
There is a lot of like, there's a ton of currently like quote unquote alive planeswalkers that they can. We are going to see more Ashiok, and I think Ashiok's being made to be one of these bad.
Ooh, yay.
Yeah, like bad guys. We have Kallax, who really, really wants to kill Elspeth. We have Elspeth back. Ajani, I think, is going to be one of the main leaders of whenever they're going to go on a crusade against Phyrexia. They can't just leave it alone.
Ajani's going to be like the Obi-Wan to that sort of deal.
Yeah. And like we know that like Elspeth has like no tolerance for the Phyrexians. Like she is like the most genocidal character towards them. Like her and Karn aren't having it.
Oh, not in the least bit.
Right? We do have Garrick, and like Garrick's finally free of his like chain veil kind of curse thing.
Woo.
We do have some of the old Gatewatch people.
I see Garrick as more of a like a
I liked Lunatic Garrick.
How are we ever going to defeat this character? And Garrick's just like, oh, yeah, I'm like one of the most powerful planeswalkers alive because I'm Garrick.
Hey, dog, yeah. I'm Garrick, yeah.
Where's Karn?
Yeah, where is Karn? That is a weird thing. He's
destroying Phyrexia.
Well, he's...
I was expecting him on Strixhaven so hard based on his history in Teleria, and I was really looking forward to a new Karn card. But yeah. Alas.
We have Kasmina. They're like putting her more and more in sets. They still haven't explained the Wanderer at all. Narset's still doing Narset things.
We're the Wanderer.
We're the Wanderer.
What?
Yeah, that's like kind of what we're supposed to be is the Wanderer, as I understood it.
I think.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Because she cannot control how she planeswalks.
That's kind of cool. She just kind of goes wherever.
Teleporting everywhere.
Oh, kind of like how we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. So that kind of makes a little bit more sense then, if that's the whole concept here. My screen just went black for a second. But if we're right now existing through the eyes of the Wanderer, is they're kind of jumping around from plane to plane, it kind of makes sense that we're not really sticking on one plane and fleshing it out in block format, because the Wanderer isn't really doing that as well. With that being said, though, I feel like we should probably get a Wanderer card with every set if that is the case.
That would be cool.
And that would show consistency about the with the actual story, and I feel like that would give them a good way to kind of get around having to, you know, flesh out format or sets.
There is go ahead, sorry.
Did you just try to explain Wizards' poor decisions on lore?
Yes. <sir.
laughs> Another one that I thought that I haven't even thought about in a while, I'm just looking through a list here, but Tezzeret's still alive and a lunatic.
And he also has his own Phyrexians.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
And the planar bridge is inside him, does he not?
I thought that was destroyed.
I don't know if it's destroyed or not. I know that he put like I'm pretty sure he made that like his arm was the planar bridge or something like that.
That'd be a cool arm to have, dude. Just kind of like hold your hand out, open up the portal.
Also, Teferi's still out doing stuff. So Teferi is all very clearly being pushed as one of like the main characters right now. Teferi's in everything. Teferi's amazing in everything. Everything Teferi-esque is very strong.
What's Tamio up to, dude?
Tamio's...
Tamio should have been in here. She's the researcher.
Yeah. I feel like she would have fit... she's not really Boros colors. And Boros, like, Lorehold feels like her kind of... college, so I feel like that might be why, but maybe in the second half, if, you know, we pop down there and they have a nice sort of Azorius studying style, maybe she, you know, surface there, see what's going on.
Like in War of the Spark, she wasn't even trying to fight. She was just writing things down until Kefnet tried to kill her, and then she decided to join the battle, but before then, she was just kind of floating there like, oh, this is interesting.
There is just a huge, huge list of planeswalkers that they can go with, and it is going to be interesting. I think we're going to see some more Jace Vraska story like we did in Ixalan. I think that could be interesting.
He was last on the New Zendikar set, right?
Jace, yeah.
Jace?
Yeah, what was he doing there?
I think he's just on his way home.
Popping through, stopping by Zendikar on the way just to reminisce.
Sorin will obviously be in Innistrad.
Hopefully.
Well, hold on. So there was one. So the names, I think, because I was talking to a couple of friends in my playgroup last night, and apparently they leaked some of the names for like the new Innistrad sets. And the vampire one's called like Vampire Wedding or something like that. So I think Olivia Voldaren's going to be getting
hitched. Touched.
Yes, sir. And it could be
to a Markov.
Ooh. That could be cool.
Right?
Isn't Voldaren like the only other large vampire house on Innistrad?
I believe so. Because, I'm thinking of the Zendikar vampires.
Zendikar vampires are pretty interesting. But anyway, that's not.
Yeah, Trina's pretty cool too.
I don't know what the werewolf one was called, because that was the only one I could remember us talking about. But the vampire one definitely has something to do with a holy matrimony of sorts. But I guess unholy in this sense, because they're vampires.
Unholy, you say.
Thorin made Avacyn. So how unholy is he?
Is Avacyn still alive?
No, she's dead.
Yeah,
Thorin killed her.
She's like super dead.
No, Thorin had to exile her and lose three life.
Yeah. That spell has messed me up in so many games, dude.
Is that Angus making?
Exile target and online permanent.
Yeah, there's some good ones. I, like I said, looking through this Arcavios, it actually made me far more excited for the Strixhaven set than I currently was. I just think that they really, really do have to do more with this. I think they'll be doing a disservice if they don't spend more time here.
They are. They're actively in it, and it sounds a little hard, but it feels like they're actively like trying to kill the multiverse just by not fleshing it out like this and kind of burying this sort of stuff. And it, because like the Lorwyn, like back when they called them Fat Packs, they used to come with like actual books,
yeah,
about this, and it like kind of fleshed out and evolved it, and that is so cool. Like, that's literally just a printed novel on the set of, like, cards you're playing with, like, history and lore on, like, specific, like, the Vendilion Click and stuff like that and specific, like, cards reference and such. And the fact that they're not doing that with a set, especially this, that seems this fleshed out, just seems like they're literally, like, looking us in the eyes and saying, we know what you want, but we're not going to do it because we want to make more money.
I have so many decks that are built just thematically because of Amonkhet. I loved Amonkhet.
Such a good. I like a lot of people, especially in my playgroup, didn't really like that set, but Aura Devastation especially is one of my favorite sets by far ever.
That is the set I entered Magic at.
Oh, that was a good time.
Sir.
That was
playing the Nepal Bullet Planeswalker deck was an experience.
We definitely have to go over the Amonkhet story. I've said it so many times. Like I'm in love with the lore of that, but like I built all of those like Oketra, Kefnet, because the story was so good. And the story on the cards as well through it. Like I loved all of it. Hour of Devastation wasn't
great. Like how Nicol Bolas just set everything up, dude. And how it was like you weren't really sure what was going on. You weren't really sure what was going on, but like you could tell something wasn't right just based on like how some of the like you know, people were acting and like the fact that they were just mummies casually walking around everywhere and everyone was kind of cool with it.
Yep.
And then it's kind of like opened up into this whole second thing, but like we can definitely delve into that at a later point.
Oh yeah, Amonkhet is just an amazing set. But yeah, like the Arcavios, this has excited me a lot more. They really do need to come back to it. There's a ton of planes they have to revisit, and like obviously Phyrexia is one of them. They've got to go deal with the Praetors or try to.
I am so ready for Phyrexia.
Yeah, if they don't go there, they're coming here.
Because if, like, Vorinclex is out and about, what's everyone else doing?
Yeah,
well, Elish Norn is currently making everyone her slave.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I mean, last place we left off, Elish Norn had killed Shieldred and then made, what's his name? What's his bucket?
Atraxa?
No, Atraxa is just some random angel they made into a...
Everyone but her.
She was a Thera angel that they made into a Phyrexian angel. But there was
out of completion.
There's a headless guy, or there's a guy whose head is on a Phyrexian body that she made the.
I can see the art on the card.
Yeah, it came with Crick. It came with the Crick deck.
Yeah. Oh my! It is on the tip of my tongue.
Well, anyway, he is currently the Praetor of the black mana for Phyrexia. New Phyrexia, I guess.
Oh, what was that? That is going to run all night now.
Elish, and is basically just a figurehead for what Elish Norn is. She controls white and black mana now.
Oh, and Elish Norn is white and black now?
No, she's not white and black, but she controls the black mana effectively. She's ruling it from behind the scenes.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't see her disposing Jyn Gitaxis or Vorinclex. I just don't think she has the power. And I also, unless she has some big, wondrous plan, Ur-Brask is going to be her issue, though. He's the only traitor that is truly that color.
Yeah. I like Ur-Brask, yeah.
You see all the other praetors be the most toxic form of what the colors can be.
That's very true.
And Ur-Brask is just like, hey, you know.
I'm going to chill out for a bit. Yeah, I'll do the board going.
But anyway, back to present day. I do think that if they wanted to bring block sets back, this would be the set to do it.
It does say that they don't know if Shouldred is alive, so she might not be dead yet.
Disposed of.
Yeah, Elish Norn just conquered Shouldred's territory and currently controls that part of New Phyrexia.
So Shouldred could still be kicking around. Ooh, a Praetor War could be pretty cool.
What if we could revote on like who wins the Praetor War, dude?
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, it's Geth. That's who you're talking about, right?
Geth?
Yeah. Lord of the Vault.
Yes.
The Pipehole of the Vault.
Is that? No, I thought he was Lord of the Vault.
I thought it was Lord of the Vault, too. I don't know. It is Geth, Lord of the Vault.
Anyway.
God, John.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't remember every card name. I can't remember card names at all.
That's fair. Yeah, no, Arcavios, like, just to end up here, I do really want to see Arcavios expanded on. It's one of the, so far, it's one of the most exciting planes that they've, Kaldheim was pretty generic, I thought. It's got some cool stuff.
There to make a one story out of, it didn't need a second block.
Maybe they can do a conflict between the gods kind of thing, right? Like, there's that. I don't know. But this Arcavios, like, it's, I want to see more. I really want to flesh the story out. I want to know more about these Elder Dragons. And, like, they can't, I just refuse to believe that it's just like, these, like, five, look at the guilds, right? Those guilds aren't getting along in perfect harmony, right? So how can these schools be? There's got to be something else, some other enemy, or, like I said, hidden other dragons.
So the dragons is what keeps Strixhaven College together.
And just kind of real quickly, looking at Kaldheim's story just briefly, like scrolling through it, it was linear and more kind of like, it definitely seems more like fleshed out because there's a direct storyline. But with Arcavios and the way they're framing the Strixhaven set, it feels like they're adding a lot more things in with just like a general description and leaving the detail out, which makes me think that they're going to be revisiting it at some
point. Well, like I said, they'd be doing a crime if they weren't to the story.
I will be at their doorstep.
But yeah, no, we'll end it there and stuff. Guys, let us know what you think about Arcavios. Is this a set you want to see more of? Which is the best Elder Dragon and why is it Belladross? And yeah, let us know. Thank you guys so much for listening.
And, tell us if you knew that the plane's actual name, or if you thought it was Strixhaven.
Yeah,
because I thought it was Strixhaven too.
I thought they were visiting Strixhaven. Yeah, it's I didn't know it was a school.
Got me good.
Yeah. Have a good night.
Thank you guys so much.
Catch you now.
Yeah, check out any of our content over at www.intothe99.com. That's the easiest way to see all of it. Join us for streams. We'll be playing some CDH games shortly here. And yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. Bye.
Bye.